Matthew chapter 1, the message today is a God-planned Christmas for the entrance of His Son into the world. A God-planned Christmas. Now, I'll be reading ever so many scriptures to you, but I just want to read two at the first, in Matthew 1, and then from Luke. But in Matthew chapter 1, look at verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When His mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But when he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for it is he that shall save his people from their sins. Now all this has come to pass that it might be fulfilled. This is the gist of what I'm telling you. What is happening has been foretold, and when it speaks of something that is to be fulfilled, it means a prophecy has been declared, and now the prophecy is going to be realized. Notice, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted God with us. And Joseph arose from his sleep, and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not, till she had brought forth a son. And he called his name Jesus. Now turn to Luke chapter 1. Verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came in unto her and said, hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this might be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And Mary said unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow thee. Wherefore also the holy thing which shall be begotten of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth thy kinswoman, she also had conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her that was called barren, for no word from God shall be void of power. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Let us speak to the Lord again in prayer. Now, Father, let us know that some of us for ever so many years have been reading the same portions of Scripture Christmas after Christmas. Our Father, let us know at first how little they meant to us. Let us know that there was a day when they meant everything to us. And now over the years, they become richer and richer. And we see them filled with truth. And that which was but a small light now has become a great light in our hearts. We thank you for this, our God. We thank you that all of these things that happened were not of men, not an invention of the mind of your creature, but all of these things for the entrance of thy Son into the world, these things are a God-planned Christmas. We are thankful that you have shown us this. We pray this day, our God, that we shall see the plans that you made before and how, step by step, they were fulfilled. So bless us to that end. We thank you for all the good things that you've imparted to us, that we are here. There is the desire to be here. Christ is the Savior, and we have trusted him as Savior. May it be true of all, our Father. And we are glad that if we confess our sins, you have promised to be faithful and righteous, to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness until we confess our sins. Bless us this hour, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. It is not by accident, but by design that everything that happened that first Christmas was pre-arranged by God. That is the remarkable thing, that all of the occurrences that we read of every Christmas that seem so accidental, that seem so precarious, all of them had been arranged from the beginning by God. And I will show you a few scriptures telling of the things that God foretold, and then I will explain them to you as they were unfolded, as God's plans unfolded in the New Testament. So let's turn to the very first in Genesis chapter 3. Genesis 3. And look at verse 15. Our first parents have sinned. God is in conversation with them. And this is what he says concerning the Satan, concerning the serpent, and concerning the woman. Look at verse 14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, cursed art thou above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Now, and I will put enmity, hatred, strife, I will put enmity between thy seed, thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. Let me read that again. Verse 15. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. He shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Notice, this is the first reference to the birth of Jesus Christ coming into the world. What God has done is this. He has not from the very first had a page with all of the prophecies concerning what would happen since sin had entered into the world. But what happens is that upon this occurrence and that occurrence, God would put yet another prophecy telling us of the plans that he had for his Son coming into the world, God's plans for the first Christmas. And it is this. Please notice how much is contained in these few words that I read to you. First of all, you must understand that the serpent was the tool of Satan. It is not the serpent. It is Satan, just as this. When Peter told the Lord Jesus, when he said that he was going to the cross, Lord, you are not to go to the cross. Be it far from thee. The Savior said, get thee behind me, Satan. And so Satan was instrumental in influencing Peter to speak these words. And so while it was Peter, it was actually Satan who was inspiring Peter to speak those words. And in like manner, this creature of God, this serpent, it was not he, but it was Satan that was instrumental in manipulating him so that he would deceive the woman. Now, what happens is this. You see it, and it is spoken of as two kinds of seed. God said that once the serpent had been responsible for causing the woman to sin, and then Adam had joined in with it, he said that I will put enmity between thee and the woman. So here it's just a woman and a serpent. But in reality it turns out to be between Satan and the woman, and between your seed, Satan's offspring, and her seed, the woman's offspring. So keeping that in mind, let's see what we have. We see that God has said that someone is going to come into the world that is going to be the enemy of Satan. And he has said that this one who has come into the world to be Satan's enemy shall be victorious. Because it says, he shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And that is what I've done when I've seen serpents. You see that serpent, and of necessity, you must crush its head. And this is what the scripture says concerning the serpent, that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent. But while doing so, it says the serpent would bruise the heel of the woman's seed. Now, again, it's so remarkable that I've been teaching you in past weeks about harvests, and you remember in the harvest parable about the wheat and the tares, it said that the Lord Jesus sowed good seed in his field. It said that while men slept, his enemy, the devil, came and sowed tares in the field. And the Lord Jesus said, the good seed are the sons of the kingdom, and the tares are the sons of the evil one. Please notice, you have good seed and you have evil seed. And the Lord Jesus tells us that the good seed are the sons of God, the sons of the kingdom, and the evil seed are the sons of Satan, the sons of the devil. Now, think of that prophecy. How remarkable. I will put enmity between thee, Satan, and the woman, the Lord Jesus' seed, and between thy seed and her seed. And so you have Satan's followers and Christ's followers. And it said that the woman's seed, in particular, one at the first, he shall bruise thy head. And then it says concerning Satan, that Satan would bruise Christ's heel. But I will tell you this, and you may look it up or just listen to it. It says concerning God's seed as a whole, as well as God's seed, that particular seed, the Lord Jesus Christ, that Christ would bruise Satan's head. And it says in Romans 16, concerning the seed of God, not the one seed, Christ, but it said, and God shall bruise Satan under your feet soon. Isn't that a remarkable thing? So first we have Christ doing the bruising, and then later we have the people of God doing the bruising. And so we have these two seeds, and God said that it all was going to occur because of the sin that the woman brought into the world. Let us rejoice that while the woman was the cause of sin with her husband, of bringing sin into the world, at the same time, God, through that woman, was going to bring the antidote to the sin and poison that was brought into the world. And it says that the woman's seed Here is the woman that had caused all of this, and yet it said, the offspring of the woman, because seed means your offspring, your children. It says the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent. Now, let's see what we have so far. God has said that there is going to be a redeemer from this malady of sin that has entered into the world. He has said that it is going to be remedied by a human being. A human being that is going to be born of a woman. See how important this is. Let me ask you about the first man that God brought into the world. Was Adam born of a woman? You say, no. Did he issue from the womb? No. Adam was formed of the dust of the earth, and God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. But he said, after this, the last Adam, the Bible speaks of the first Adam, and it speaks of the last Adam. Do you not realize that God, had he desired, could have simply brought the Lord Jesus upon the scene as a full-grown man, as he did the first Adam? Because when Adam was created, in the day of his creation, God was able to speak to him, and Adam was able to converse with God. He was born a mature, rational man that was able to talk to God and learn from God. This is the way the first Adam came into the world. But God said, the last Adam that is going to come into the world is going to be born an infant and is going to develop, and in his development, when he becomes mature, he shall bruise thy head. How do I know that? Because you will find that it says in Isaiah 53, and I'm not reading these things to you, I'm simply quoting them. It says, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he, the Lord Jesus, shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of the dry ground. So here is Christ, who is born of the seed of woman, and he shall mature, he shall grow up, and he shall reach maturity. And what it says in Luke 2:52 is this, Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And when the fullness of time came, he was born of a woman, and when the fullness of his time came, he was a mature man, and about 30 years of age, he went forth and he started preaching. Let me tell you what else is contained in this first announcement concerning Christ. He's not going to be another creature like Adam, but he's going to be one that is born. He is going to be of human generation. But when he comes into the world, he comes with a mission into the world. He comes not to enjoy a garden as Adam was created to enjoy and have fellowship there with his God, but he is born into the world to accomplish a mission to bruise the head of the serpent. So we are told this in the very day of the occurrence of sin coming into the world. God says, I have a Savior that is going to come into the world. And much more is contained, but simply this. Remember that Christ is going to be born of human beings. That the Lord Jesus Christ is coming into the world with a mission to bruise the head of the serpent. And this is how Paul puts it. It says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And so God has a mission when Christ comes into the world, and that is to bruise Satan's head, and by bruising Satan's head and dying on the cross, then sinners can call upon the name of the Lord and can be saved. These are just a few of the things that God has told us in Genesis 3:15. Now, I want us to see another scripture that is ever so remarkable. Turn to Numbers, turn to the book of Numbers, and this is one of the secrets that God had all of this was planned, but he tells us some of the things that he's going to do, not plainly, but secretly. Now, I've challenged people before, and no one has ever been able to show me a scripture foretelling what the human name of our Savior was going to be when he came into the world. But let me show you this hint that God gives. In Numbers chapter 13, it says in verse 16, "These are the names of the men that Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Hoshea, the son of Nun, Joshua." And so God called his name Joshua. You say, well, what is the meaning of that? The meaning is this, that the name Joshua in the Old Testament is the name Jesus in the New Testament. And the word Joshua is Jehoshua. Now, the word Hosea or Hoshea is, because in what happens is this, at times you simply have the O, Hosea, and at times you have Hoshea, but it's Hoshea in the original, in the Hebrew. And so you have Hoshea, which simply means Savior, Deliverer, and the word Hoshea is the same word as Joshua with the word the Lord added to it. So here is the word Hoshea, which means Savior and Deliverer, but remarkably, Moses changes his name and gives him the name Jesus. The Lord is our Savior. And that's what it says concerning the name of the Lord Jesus. It says, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Thou shalt call his name Joshua, because it is he who shall save his people from their sins." I mention that because a question is asked in the book of Proverbs. A challenge is put to man. What is the name of God? Tell me if you know. What is God's name? And what is his son's name? And no one ever knew what that name was going to be, plainly foretold in Scripture. But yet, here is a man's name that is changed to Jesus. And we understand that as Moses was a picture of the Lord, so Joshua was a picture of the Lord. And Joshua brought victory to those who were his followers. He was the one through whom God gave deliverance and salvation to the nation of Israel, and they went into the promised land. Now, in like manner, the Lord Jesus is he through whom God gives victory to all of those who follow him. Now, let's turn to Isaiah. I want us to see this. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. "Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Now, you get this name, one of the multitude of names given to the Lord Jesus. But the challenge was this: what is the earthly human name that's going to be given to the Lord Jesus? That is not revealed. But notice, it says here that the seed of the woman, and the seed of the woman now, is going to be a virgin. Nobody could understand what this meant at first, but it said, "A virgin shall conceive, shall be with child, and she shall bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which is God with us." And Jesus means the Lord our Savior, the Lord saves. Now, keep that in mind, and I want to show you the basis of the God planned Christmas. Turn to Isaiah chapter 48. Isaiah 48. Here is God telling us that he is the one who planned that first Christmas. the entrance of his Son into the world. And he tells us in such a way that is thrilling to show us that it could not have been counterfeited. Listen to verse 3. God says, I have declared the former things of old. Yea, they went forth out of my mouth, and I showed them. Suddenly I did them, and they came to pass, because I knew that you are obstinate, and your neck is an iron sinew, and thy brow brass. Therefore I have declared it to thee from of old. Before it came to pass, I showed it thee, lest thou shouldst say, my idol hath done them, and my graven image, and my molten image hath commanded them. Thou hast heard it. Behold all this, and ye, and will ye not declare it? I have showed thee new things from this time, even hidden things which thou hast not known. They are created now, and not from of old. And before this day thou heardest them not, lest thou shouldest say, behold, I knew them. Now I want you to think of this passage and meditate on it, because God has told us concerning his prophecies that he purposely had them concealed, and then before they came to pass, he said, I'm going to tell you what is going to come to pass. And he says, I tell you this so that when it does come to pass, you cannot point to your idols and say, by my idols, my graven images brought these things to pass. A God-planned Christmas. I tell you that because there are some who speak of the accidents, the fortuitous circumstances that brought about this first Christmas. And God said, I refuse to acknowledge those things. God said, I am he who has told you, and I am he who has brought it to pass, and I told you in advance so that you know that I am behind it all, that I am God. And this is what I've heard. I remember reading a book once that I found in a library. It was a beautiful devotional book, but this is the way it ended. Having given the life of Christ, it mentioned that this man who was destined for great things, he who should have lived on in the world to a ripe age and taught them more about blessed are the pure in heart, blessed are the merciful, he should have done those things, but it said by accident he was hated of his countrymen, and before he could complete his task, he was crucified at Calvary. Now, isn't that remarkable? That man would look at the unfortunate events that happened to the Lord Jesus Christ. And God said, I refuse to let anybody believe that who will read the Word of God. He said, because I told it before it has come to pass. And he said, I have arranged it to come to pass exactly as I have foretold it. And we had this brought to us at the remembrance meeting when it was read about Caesar Augustus causing the whole world to be taxed. Why? And I will quote you this for the sake of time. It says in Micah chapter 5 that Christ is going to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. And so when the wise men come and ask, where is he that is born, king of the Jews? Why, the scribes and learned men of the law say, why, he's going to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. Because Micah 5:2 reads thus. Now, get this next step. That the Jews who had the scriptures knew that God had foretold certain things concerning their Messiah. They had learned from Micah chapter 5 that he was going to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. Not in Jerusalem, not in Dan, not in Beersheba, not in Jericho, but there was a specific place that he was going to be born. And these Jews were thoroughly convinced that God had foretold it, and it was going to come to pass. All right, think what we have now. Just these things. That Christ was going to be a human being. He was going to be born of the seed of the woman. that woman was going to be a virgin. And that virgin who is going to give birth is going to give birth in Bethlehem of Judea. But we found this morning from Luke chapter 1 that Jesus and Joseph and Mary were in Nazareth. That's where Joseph lived, and that's where he had his occupation as a carpenter. And so how, if God had planned Christmas, and he said, Jesus is going to be born in Bethlehem of Judea, how could this come to pass? And so God is able to take the history of the world and to take the desire of some earthly potentate. I'm going to have everybody taxed, and I insist that they go back to the city of their nativity, and they're to be taxed there. Little did this weakling, this one in the hand of God, realize that he was simply accomplishing what God himself had said would take place in Micah chapter 5, verse 2. He said, my son is going to be born in Bethlehem of Judea, and the world would have laughed at such a thing. And yet here is Mary, great with child, and she has to be taken from Nazareth to Bethlehem of Judea. And when she arrived in Bethlehem of Judea, the time for Jesus to be brought forth came to pass, and as God had said, as God had planned, Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea. Now let me tell you this, to show you, and it's heartbreaking, to show you that some men know the Word of God, and they believe it completely, and these Jews would have died before saying that the Messiah is going to be born anywhere else other than Bethlehem of Judea. They believed it, they knew it, and yet, when the wise men came and said, he's born, where is he that's born, King of the Jews? The ones who had known it and who believed it did not even bestir themselves to go and see this newborn king. You realize that there are some, and it's like this, who collect books, and they get the books, and they put them on their shelves, and they never read the books. They simply collect the books. And there are some who study the Bible and history, and they know all the facts, and they're able to prove the facts and stand by the facts. And concerning prophecies in the Old Testament, the Jews were ready to die for those facts, but they had absolutely no effect upon their lives when it came to doing why God caused these facts to come to pass. Now that's heartbreaking. Let me tell you what God intends each fact of the Bible to do. It says concerning the return of our Savior, we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him even as he is. And everyone that has this hope set upon Christ purifies himself even as he is pure. And so if we believe that Jesus is going to come back, and when he does, we'll be like him, it says that fact causes man to purify himself. Well, what do you think that in the heart of a true believer, a true child of God, that knows that Jesus is going to be born in Bethlehem of Judea, what do you think would have to take place if he were truly a child of God, if he knew that that prophecy had been fulfilled and Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea? You say, he would have to go see him. Yes. But it shows that the world is filled with people that know what the Bible says and they believe it factually, but they do not believe it sincerely and to the point of salvation in their hearts. And so these are the things that God has set before us. A God-planned Christmas, and all of God's plans came to pass. They worked out just as he said they would. Now time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we're so thankful that we have not followed cunningly devised fables. And this thing that seems such a marvel, something that causes men to wonder at the simplicity and at the beauty of it all, we are so glad that we who believe the Word of God know that it was no accident at all. But as you challenge men in Isaiah, challenge men to show to bring it to pass, and man is not able, then you have challenged man, once you have foretold a thing, to cause it not to come to pass. And man has never been able to accomplish this. We are thankful, our Father, that you are the God who knows the end from the beginning, And we are thankful that all of your plans have worked out in history. And all of the other plans that you have for mankind, they too shall work out in the coming day. So let our hearts rest assured, and let us know the facts, the word of God, but let our hearts be influenced by those facts. The Lord Jesus has been born, and we this morning came and worshiped him at the remembrance meeting. And we are thankful that Jesus Christ is coming again, and let us set our hope upon him, and let us purify our hearts, even as he is pure. Bless us to this end, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.